Today's title, Following God's Direction. We're going to be in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And when we look at God and we look at what God wants for our lives, looking at the directions that are out there in front of us, there are so many things and so many ways to go. But God gives us His Word, and we can follow His Word. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Father, we thank You for this time that we can gather together in Your name in this place. We thank You for Your Word, and we pray that You would continue to guide and direct each one of us, seeking Your wisdom and Your direction in each of our lives. And Lord, as we pray for direction for this country and for guidance and direction in our families, and Lord, we pray that You would help us to see Your Word, follow Your Word, be obedient to You, and Lord, that we would walk the way You would have us to walk, bringing honor and glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, in our lives, there are many pathways. You know, and at times we're overwhelmed with choices. Turn right, turn left, merge in, merge out, all kinds of directions. Go up and over this one and go around and go the other direction. We are just like a roadway in front of us. And sometimes it overwhelms us, which way to go, what to do next, what is the best way, which is the right way. Sometimes I went down the wrong path, now what? We have all kinds of questions that are out there in our lives of what do we do now? Where do we go now? What's the next step? To be able to answer these choices, I believe we must be able to see and to know where we are. And we have to know what is down every path. And then the question is, if I knew what was down a path and I didn't like it, would I go down that path? But God, however, is able to see where we are. And God is able to see what is down every path. And He alone is able to guide us all along the way. He gives us instruction in this passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to be able to follow His direction. God didn't just tell us to do something, but He told us and He equips us, and He's there with us to be able to do it. So our first point this morning is to trust in the Lord with all thy heart. To trust in the Lord with all of your heart. This trust then launches a personal relationship with God. We must have a personal relationship with the Lord to be able to trust Him. To be saved, we have to trust the Lord. To follow the Lord, we have to trust the Lord. We practice that every day of our life. This word trust, it is the word to believe, or it is to have faith, to walk in faith. The Bible talks a lot about faith. And along with faith comes the word trust. Scofield said, "Trust is the characteristic Old Testament word for the New Testament faith or belief." So when we find that, when we look at when we're talking about our faith today, what is our faith in? Who is our faith in? Who do we trust? The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas how he could be saved. What can I do? He was stirred up. He was scared. He didn't know what to do. And as he asked them, they responded, and they said in Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Our answer is always to turn to the Lord. When we need direction, it's always to turn to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. Have faith in the Lord. Trust the Lord, the Bible says, with all thy heart. So trust then strengthens as we live in relationship with God. Our trust will be strengthened as we live in relationship with God. The stronger and longer our relationship becomes, the more trust that we have. And that's not just true in a relationship with God, but in relationships. So we find then the disciples, and when we look back at the disciples and we look at their relationship with Jesus, we see a difference in the relationship that they had when Jesus first called them out. And at the time of his resurrection, and then again at the time of the apostles' deaths, we see the difference in who they were as people. All of that had to do with their relationship with Jesus, the time they had spent with him, the experiences they had with him, the fulfillment and completion of who the Holy Spirit was, how the Holy Spirit was working and who he was doing it to individually. Now, when we look at that in our own lives today, we have the same thing. We have to have that beginning point, and that is our salvation. When we accept by faith, by the way, is how we receive him. We trust him to do what he says he can do. And we start growing from there. And as we grow in our faith grows. It gets bigger. It gets stronger. And that is our trust then. I can trust the Lord to get me through the next thing because he got me through the last thing. I can trust the Lord to help me through whatever's ahead of me because he's always been there. He's always helped me. And we build that trust and have that security in him. To the disciples in Matthew 8:26, he said, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" There was a time the disciples were scared and fearful. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, about them not knowing who he was and not really knowing the power that he had. To Peter, Jesus said in Matthew 14:31, "O thou of little faith, wherefore diddst thou doubt?" And we stop and think, well, yeah, Peter didn't have a lot of faith in some areas, but how much are we like Peter sometimes? How are we low on our faith level at times? And you know, it has to do with that relationship. The stronger the relationship with Peter, between Peter and Jesus got, the more trust that Peter had in Jesus. And the same thing is true with us. The stronger our relationship gets between us and Jesus, the more trust, the more security that we experience in Jesus. So their trust strengthened based on their relationship with the Lord. Our trust strengthens based on our relationship with the Lord. So then we find following God's direction requires trusting him with all of our heart. To be able to follow down the pathway that God wants us to go down, we have to trust him. Not just a little bit, not with, "O ye of little faith," but with all of that we are. "With all thy heart," the Bible says. This means trusting him with all that we are, our body, our soul, our spirit, all of who we are. Job gives us this example in chapter 13, verse 15. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." We look at Job, we look at all that he went through, and we see Job had a relationship with God. God knew who Job was. God knew what he was going to do to Job. Job did not. But Job said, "Even though he slay me, even though he take my body's life, I will trust him." That's a hard statement. And when you stop and realize that, when you are at the point of saying, "God, if you want to kill me, here I am. I trust you." Not too many people would say that. But he could, based on his relationship with the Lord. Sorry about that. In Isaiah 26, 33 and 4, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." We have a peace of mind. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in Jesus." He trusts in the Lord. He trusts in God Almighty. Now, how do we build that trust? It's day by day, moment by moment, step by step. And it's a continual giving of ourself to God, following His direction with all of our heart. Who have you given all of your heart to? Who has your heart? Who do you pour everything out to? You've heard the phrase, you know, pour out your heart. That's exactly what God is saying. Come to me and let's build that relationship. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Give Him your heart. The second point is to lean not unto thy own understanding. This is a major problem with almost everybody. We have our own understanding. And we trust in it sometimes more than we trust in the Lord. We trust in what we can see, what we can touch, what we can feel, what we can experience, and sometimes even what somebody tells us more than what we trust in the Lord. And that should not be that way. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. Our understanding of all things is limited to our intelligence or our experience. How smart we are, how intelligent we are, we think, some men think they're really intelligent. Some people think they're really smart. But put yourself in an IQ test with God. It sounds absurd, don't it? You can't. But man will trust man's intelligence over God. Or we'll trust our experience. Well, I've never done it that way before. Well, if God says to do it that way, then it's okay if you haven't done it that way before. God says to do it. So we need to learn to follow Him and trust Him with all of our heart and not necessarily trust tradition, trust what we think should be done, trust what somebody else says. We need to trust what God says and what God says to do. Trusting Him with all that we are and not leaning on our own understanding. Matthew Henry said, "Those who know themselves find their own understanding a broken reed, which if they lean upon, will fail." If we stand on what we understand only, we will fail. We will fall. And mankind has proved that over and over and over. But God's understanding is far above that of all people. God understands. God knows. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God has made it very clear that man cannot attain to be like God. The only way we can become godly is working through us. Otherwise, it's our understanding of who God is. And man is not equipped to fully understand everything about God. We're equipped to be like God. We're equipped to become more and more like Him, and we will, and we are, as we walk with Him. But I didn't wake up one day and say, "I'm going to be like God today." It doesn't happen like that. God is the one who does that in us. It is Him that receives the power and the glory for changing us. It's not a work that we can perform. My thoughts, He said, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And He compares it here, as for the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. To put it in short, God's bigger than everything. He's bigger than our planet. He's bigger than our universe. He's bigger than our thoughts. And He encompasses it all. We are not equal to God. He is God. And we have to realize that we are limited in our understanding. I do not know what's out there in the universe. And I can guarantee you, the greatest astronomer does not know either. He can only see what he can see. And then he has to base it on what he knows. God does not have to do that. God created it. He doesn't have to base it on anything. He doesn't have to base it on what he can see or what somebody has told him. God is God. His ways are higher than our ways. Proverbs 8:1, 8:14, and 8:22. In these verses it says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice, crying out to us? Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength." God is telling us who He is. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old." We have all kinds of scriptures that teach us and show us who God is to the best that we can understand. Even if it's the best that we can understand, God's bigger than all of that. He's grander. He's more magnificent. So God's understanding is far above that of all people. The Bible tells us to not lean on our own understanding, therefore. God's is bigger. Lean on His understanding. Trust somebody who's there. Trust somebody who knows. So we discover then the wisdom of God in the Scriptures. The Scriptures gave the psalmist here more understanding than those who had been teaching him. How does that happen? How does the Scriptures give us more? Because it's God's Word. And it is the Holy Spirit that takes those words and develops them in our life. Psalm 119, 99, and 100. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts." As we follow God's Word, we gain wisdom. We gain understanding. We gain the ability to follow the path that God has for us. God has given us His Word for a reason. It's our map through life. It's our guidebook. It's our instruction manual. It's everything that we need in this world to do and to be what God has for us to do and to be. In Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The Word of God is able to give life. That's what that quickening is, to bring life. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, getting in between the soul and the spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God can get into places that nothing else can in your life. We need then to not lean on our own understanding, but trust the Lord. Lean on His understanding. And that leaning has to do with putting your rest upon, or being cuddled by God. Lean not on your understanding, lean on His. And the last part of that verse says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Who's He talking about? We need to acknowledge the presence of the Lord in everything that we do. Is God here today? God's everywhere, in all things. Do we acknowledge Him everywhere and in all things? I think many times we're distracted. Many times we're off somewhere else. We're not acknowledging Him and His presence where we are. But in every thought and word, on the job and at home, battles and in rest, we can acknowledge the presence of God. Psalm 139, 7 through 10. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Where can we be that God is not? There is no place. So we need to learn to acknowledge the presence of God everywhere. I hear people talking about, well, I go up on the mountain so I can be close with God. You're just as close with God in your closet as you are up on a mountain. The key is God is everywhere. What brings that closeness is your acknowledgement of God. That I am here with God and God is here with me. Do we accept that? Do we acknowledge Him everywhere? Not just in church on Sunday mornings, but everywhere. God is everywhere. Where shall I flee from thy spirit? We think about that. How many people have tried to hide from God? Go clear back to Adam and you come forward. People have since Adam and still are today trying to hide from God. You cannot hide from God. He's already there. The key then is if I accept that He's there, then I have to acknowledge Him. And that's where people draw the line. I'm not going to acknowledge. If I don't acknowledge Him, then He's not there. That's kind of like an ostrich sticking his head in the sand. Because, you know, what good is it going to do? If I don't see Him, it's going to be okay. But you know what? Just because we don't see God walking around, talking with this boisterous, audible voice. In fact, I think even if that was the case, some would still not believe it. But God is everywhere, the Bible teaches us. As a believer, He's in your heart. He's in you. Christ in us, the Bible says, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, given to us as believers. It's the Spirit of God. How can we hide from God? How can we flee from God? Where can we go that God does not know where we are? It's impossible. So we need to acknowledge the presence of the Lord. Acknowledge Him. And we need to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. Acknowledge that He is. Acknowledge He is here. and acknowledge Him in all of our ways. And that ways has to do with the course of life or our walk, the pathway that we go down. Acknowledge Him in all our ways. In Genesis 5:24, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. And in 6:9, it says Noah walked with God. There is the key to walk with God. In the New Testament, it tells us to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The same thing. To walk in the Spirit is walking, following the direction of God, listening to God's direction, trusting Him, not leaning on our own understanding, acknowledging Him in all of our ways. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And in this verse, we see some very basic things that everyone does every day. Whether you eat or drink, everyone in this room most likely has had something to eat or drink today. Did you acknowledge God in that? The Bible says, whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever it is. When we eat, do we acknowledge God? When we take a drink, do we acknowledge God? I think many times we overlook God in those areas, in the basics, in the ongoing things of our life. When you take a breath, does it help you to acknowledge God? You know, we become calloused and expectant of things that we have all the time. And we shouldn't. We should be thankful to God. We should be acknowledging where that came from. Have you ever been really thirsty and didn't have anything to drink? And someone comes along and gives you a bottle of water? It's like, oh, thank you so much. I really needed that. But did we thank God who brought that person down our path? The Bible says in Colossians 3:17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, whatever you say or whatever you do, whatever you speak or the action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Representing Christ. As we do that, we acknowledge the Lord in our way. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. Do it heartily. Give it your whole heart. Go back to the first part of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with what? All our heart. We need to let the Lord have our heart, but we need to walk with the Lord, letting Him lead us down the path, down every path that He has for us. Do I know what's down that path? Sometimes we can see. If you're up on top of a mountain and you're looking down a pathway, you can see down that path a ways, and maybe it goes across the valley and up the other side, and you see something over there. I don't want to go over there. But you know what? As we trust the Lord, if that's where the Lord leads, He may get you down to the bottom and the path forks down there, and you don't go that way anyway. You go another direction. The key is listening to Him and trusting Him, whatever the path might be. He says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. It's not for other people. It's for the Lord. What we do is for the Lord. So my work is for the Lord? Yes. The Little things that I do for other people are for the Lord? Yes. It's all for the Lord. How you do it makes a difference. But it comes from acknowledging Him, knowing Him, having that relationship with Him. To have God's direction then in our life, we need to trust Him. The Bible says He shall direct our path. He shall direct our path. There's not any suggestions there. There's not any question there. He will. The Bible tells us trust in Him with all of our heart. That's where it starts. It starts in a heart relationship with God. An acknowledgement of, I give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I accept Him as my Savior. I accept the gift of salvation provided to me through Jesus Christ. From that point, to be more and more like Christ, to yield myself to the Holy Spirit, trusting Him with all our heart. And that has to do with our daily life, our daily walk with the Lord. And lean not unto thy own understanding. Don't let our thoughts and our ideas interrupt God's Word. Don't let our opinion or man's opinion or the popular opinion interrupt or corrupt God's Word. Lean not on our own understanding. Lean on God's understanding. Trust what He knows and what He has told us. And in all our ways, we are to acknowledge Him. Down every path we go, over every mountain we climb, through every valley, on the highways, and on the trails, where it's smooth and where it's rough, where it's steep and rocky, and where it's easy going, we're to acknowledge Him in every path. I want to encourage you this morning to trust the Lord with all your heart. And as the Bible says, don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him. And remember, He shall direct your path as well. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank You once again for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for giving us the guidance and the direction that we need in every step along the way. And Lord, as we come forward this morning, may You work in our hearts and draw us closer to You, strengthening us where we are weak, helping us where we may have failed or stepped down the wrong path. Lord, help us to be right with You, physically, spiritually. Help us to know You. Help us to have a strong trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Obedience to Your Word. And Lord, may You continue to draw us and develop us to be more and more like You. Touch each heart here this morning and each one who is listening and draw them with Your Spirit that You might be exalted and magnified and glorified above all. And we ask and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.